About 10 years ago, my husband and I were living in Seattle, and we both felt this sense of dissatisfaction. We had really great corporate jobs, nice house in the suburb, two cars in the garage, and from the outside, things looked really good, but inside, we would come home from work and just plop in front of the TV, and it just felt like there was something missing. It was like our souls were dying. They were crying out, there must be more to life, there must be more to life. And,
help.
Yeah, so that was the beginning, really, of a conscious journey to living my dreams. And what we did was we just started talking. We started talking about what are our passions. And one of the passions that we both had in common was sailing. So we decided to take sailing lessons and joined a sailing club. And one thing led to another. We started reading books and magazines about people who would take off and go cruising around the world, traveling via sailboat. And we thought, you know, one book in particular, a gal, she was only 18 years old, she circumnavigated the world by herself. So it was very inspiring. And we thought, wow, if people could do something like this, why can't we do something similar? Why do we feel like we have to stay stuck here in these jobs, that, in these, you know, this life that we're not happy with?
Yeah.
So we did. We ended up researching different crew positions. So instead of just throwing it all to the wind, we decided to take a leave of absence for a year, rent out the house, and we crewed a sailboat from Fiji to Singapore. And it was an absolutely life-transforming experience, as you can imagine. So that was the first step, really, for us to break out of the confines of how we thought we should be living, what society, family, you know, kind of the ideals that we're brought up with, the way we think, you know, we need to go. And that was the first step for us, just to break free of that altogether.
Mm. Oh, what a way to spend a year.
Yeah, so the sailing trip was only 6 months of that. The first 3 weeks we went on a road trip because we wanted to find a new place to live. We weren't real satisfied with the weather in Seattle. It was getting us down a little bit. And so we did a road trip and decided on San Diego after returning from our sailing trip. And then we sailed for 6 months from Fiji, Vanuatu, Australia, Indonesia to Singapore. And then after that, did some overland traveling. So it was a whole year off from work, but about 8 months of traveling altogether.
Wow. And how did this experience transform your life?
In so many ways. So some of the highlights for us were slowing down, because we moved so fast here. No cell phone, no computer, no telephone, no TV, just really simplifying our lives down to one backpack each for those 8 months of traveling. That's all we had, was one backpack each. And so really slowing down, simplifying, doing laundry by hand, doing dishes by hand, watching the sunset every night. It was hours of entertainment just to watch the stars at night when you're on your what is called your watch. And so, and then also watching the way other cultures lived. So seeing that they could be so happy, some of these cultures, with very little materially. For example, we were anchored off an island in Fiji called Waia, and John and I wanted to have an authentic experience of the culture, and we decided to hike because we had heard there was a village on the other side. We hiked to the other side of the island, and we came down upon a ceremony. There were about 200 native Fijians in grass skirts dancing and singing and conducting the ceremony, and they were doing a celebration of a new community building, which I thought was really interesting. And I noticed that they lived in kind of grass, like hut-style houses, very poor as far as their material possessions, but the light and the joy in their eyes and their smiles was just life-transforming. I mean, that sticks with me today, just how happy they could be with so little. So I think that was one of the major lessons that we brought home and tried to fit into our lives ever since then, just keeping it as simple as possible.
Huh. Oh, wow. Talk about a breakthrough from growing up, as most of us have, in a consumer society, thinking that, well, that's just how it is.
Right, exactly. It was totally eye-opening. So I love the thing that really hit home, besides the simplicity, was just that it opened my mind to other possibilities and to other ways of living, just realizing that at any moment I can choose differently. I don't have to buy into this way of living that the majority of people do. You know, at any time I can choose differently. So, for example, when we came back from our sailing trip, we started to get caught up in that consumer mentality that you were talking about. It's very easy. After a couple of years, we started to, you know, got the house again, started working just to pay the mortgage, kind of got caught up in the rat race. So then we did, had remembered a vision we had on our road trip before the sailing trip, which was to have a cabin in the mountains and a sailboat. And so we just, after my father died, we just decided to go for it. Let's live this alternative lifestyle, and absolutely fell in love with that lifestyle.
So you had a cabin in the mountains and a sailboat.
Yeah.
And you were still on leave, or you'd gotten new work, or what was?
Oh, by this time we'd been back on land for about 4 years, and I had finished graduate school, and John was in a different career, so we were just in the midst of our kind of working lives again. Even though I was doing more fulfilling work, it still got to this point of not feeling, I don't know what the word is, just not real satisfied with the pace again, and kind of that working for other people, because my dream had always been to start my own business. So moving to the mountains, that gave me the opportunity to write the book, start my business, and really, really slow down.
And this was in California? Or?
Yeah, that was in California. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Okay. So that was a big breakthrough.
Absolutely.
And so you got inspired, and this was the book that came out of that, Sail Into Your Dreams?
Yeah, so it was the initial journey of just taking off from our ordinary lives, reinventing our lives altogether, really. And people around us were very inspired, and some were jealous. But most were like, wow, this is really great what you're doing. And that's when the idea for the book came about. It was actually about 10 years ago. But it took several more years for me to complete my transformation and some of the lessons that I needed to learn to put it all together into a book. And then also, like I said, moving to the mountains, slowing down again. And that, one of the chapters in the book, step two, is about creating room. So when we do have a dream or vision, we need to make sure that we create the room for it to happen. So knowing that that was a dream of mine, I needed to kind of step back and give myself the time and the space to do it, and it was able to manifest from there.
Hmm. Ooh. Wow. Okay. So you were mentioning step two. Did I miss step one? Sometimes I have to make sure I'm paying attention here.
In a general way, I talked about step one really is about becoming empowered and stepping outside of the box. But first we need to know who we are and really take the time to listen, to go within and listen. And that's why I love the sailing trip, because we slowed down so much that we were able to journal and meditate and just be quiet and be with ourselves, you know, and really listen to our hearts. So I think that's really important. Step one, not only knowing who you are as an amazing, unique individual with special dreams and talents and passions, but also knowing who you are as a brilliant, magnificent, infinite spiritual being. So I like to call that authentic power, when we know who we are in form, in the 3D, in our body, our specialness, but then also who we are as these amazing, creative, spiritual beings. So in that place of authentic power, knowing who we are, then we can take the step to take inspired action and follow our hearts and our dreams. So that's really what step one is. Plot your own course, be authentic, and it's about knowing who you are and knowing what you want, and then starting to plot a course towards that.
Okay. And then your practice, having done the book with the 8 steps to living a more purposeful life, is that part of what your practice is about, helping people to implement these steps, or?
Yeah, basically I'm a psychotherapist, and I do work with people quite a bit on life purpose and direction, but I also deal with issues like relationship problems and grief and loss, so it's some of the more typical psychotherapeutic issues. But a lot of people are drawn to my work because of the life purpose and direction, and they come in saying, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing here? What's this all about? You know? Yeah.
And so you made mention of a path in which you and your husband took, you know, were in a position to take a year's leave of absence and you know, do some sailing. I mean, some amazing adventures. What I'm curious about, if people are in a position where they may not be able to do that, what kind of clues could you give the folks that, whatever, they may be raising a family and living month to month, not able to take some of that time off? How can we start from a less advantageous position?
Well, I think that's a really wonderful question, Kenneth. And there are a couple things that crossed my mind when you said that. One is that we can really living a purposeful life and following our dreams is living the dream every day. So it really isn't about some big grand, you know, adventure or even publishing the book. I mean, that was a process of every day showing up and being present and tuning in and listening to myself, my higher power. So I think, so one I want to say is do something that you love every day and listen. You know, take time out to really listen to your guidance and your direction and your heart. But also start creating a vision. So if you can't take off right away, but you know that you have this dream of doing this someday, start creating a vision, maybe even creating a collage, something that reminds your subconscious of your vision. For example, when we bought the sailboat, we bought the cabin first, and we had a picture of a sailboat on our refrigerator, and the boat that we ended up manifesting about a year later was exactly, it looked exactly like the one on the refrigerator. So I just think having the vision and then committing to it, from my experience, once you make a commitment, that a lot of resources end up coming in that you had no idea were there. So, for example, a conversation with a friend or a book that you read or unexpected money several times. Once before the sailing trip, we had unexpected money come to us. Again, right before I started my business, I had no idea financially how that was going to work out. I just said in January, I want to start my business in June. And in May, a big lump of money came that I had no idea was on the horizon. So I think that, again, creating a vision, making a commitment, and then taking the small steps every day to do something that you love, to tune in, to listen, you know, I think those are some helpful suggestions.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds pretty good. Now, okay to give out your website to people?
Oh, absolutely. It's www.liveapurposefullife.com. So liveapurposefullife.com.
All small letters, no spaces.
Yeah.
Okay. And there they can kind of get an overview, connect to your book and see some of the different things, the articles. Apparently you can be hired to come in and do some motivational, inspirational speaking, and as well as I like this idea of private sessions.
So for people who live in Denver, I also do phone consultations. So if you don't live in Denver, but if you live in the Denver area, I've got two different offices that I work out of, Greenwood Village and an office in Denver. And then also I do the phone consultations for people who are not local.
Oh, okay. So people can be most anywhere in the world and tuning in and getting inspired by your story and your techniques, and then give you a call and schedule some sessions.
Absolutely.
Well, this is great. I love it. And then there's articles. They can go to the website and get a little bit more in addition to the book. Is there other things that are helpful and supportive?
Yeah, I do. I put out a monthly newsletter with an inspirational article, and so people can join my mailing list if they're interested in getting more information. Usually there's some really helpful tools in the article also as well.
Oh, good, good. Would you share, like some of the things that you do that are simple things on a daily basis that are bringing you joy or feelings of love?
Oh, that's a great question. I start my day by doing a little bit of yoga just to stretch and kind of just calm my mind and be present. I have some nice piano music that I listen to, and then I sit in front of an altar and I take a few moments to pray at my altar, and then sometimes I'll meditate at my altar. And then since I'm a writer, I like to write as much as possible, usually every day. So whether it's flow writing on the computer or flow writing in my journal, usually one of those two things. And I love to walk my doggy.
Yeah.
So those are some simple things that I do every day that help me to connect. And I think that being in this fast-paced and, like you said, consumer-oriented society that we live in, we have so little connection sometimes. So whether it's connection with ourselves, with our source, spirit, God, or with each other, we really need to take the time out to do that. And so I've, over the years, since coming back from our sailing trip, I've really made it a top priority to do that.
Okay. Now, I guess there's some some different things, because you're talking to us about helping to really make some changes. I mean, after we do some yoga or a little bit of meditation, most of us are kind of set in a lifestyle. We've been doing our best to move ahead, and yet, like you and your husband at one point in time, it wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't getting the job done. And yet, it's like become like that familiar pair of shoes or clothing. It's so comfortable, even though it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if you can help give some clues about letting go of some of the old things, setting some new priorities, different things that can help us move ahead.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why we resist change so much is that typically there's some kind of loss associated with it. So, for example, after living in Big Bear in the mountains for 3 years and owning the sailboat, we decided to make a change and move to Colorado. And it was very challenging because I loved our lifestyle. I loved our little cabin. I loved the friends that I made. Just loved where we were living, but yet when I would meditate, I would get a really light feeling about it. And this was more about following my husband's dreams, because he decided he wanted to go back to school and live in a bigger city with more opportunities. So I really had to go into a place of trust and follow that feeling of lightness that I felt in meditation. And what I found was that I had to go through a grieving process of letting go. And then once we moved to Colorado, I felt this sense of expansion because I was moving into a place of meeting new people and having new experiences and expanding. For me professionally, this has been a wonderful place for me to develop professionally. So one of the ideas that came up when you were asking that question was just the idea that we need to allow ourselves the opportunity to grieve and to let go. And even leaving from Seattle to go on our sailing trip, there was grief because we were leaving behind family and friends, our home, our pets. So going into a new situation, that idea of letting go, but then also a lot of times fear comes up. So there's a fear of a loss, but then there's a fear of the unknown. And one way, from my understanding, fear really is about this belief or idea of separation, that somehow we are separate from God, from Source. And so to find practices, like those practices I suggested a little while ago, to find practices that help us get into love, into a place of love and peace and trust, these things are really helpful in moving forward, I found. And also asking for support. I think sometimes we forget that we can reach out, and whether it's spiritual support or friends or people maybe who have gone before us, who have done what we want to do, really tapping into those forms of support and reaching out. Those have been really helpful tools for me.
Excellent. And I was noticing that in the chapters you not only give some good advice, you offer some exercises for people to practically apply some of this good advice. And there was one thing here that caught my attention about the clutter. It's sort of like, I wish having clutter was a high-paying job. I'd be very well off. And I don't know if you can do anything as ways to, because, you know, there's always the proverbial fire sale, which...
Right.
Which is a massive purging of clutter, but then there's, I don't know, sometimes there's some guilt after that, or who knows what. So is there any less intense way to help get on top of that?
Well, Kenneth, when you were talking, I just remembered, there's actual fire, too. when I was living in Big Bear, I think it was the second year I was there, John was out of town, and we had a huge fire threat. You probably heard of it here in Denver. I'm not sure where you were at the time, but in 2003, they called it the Old Fire. And I had to evacuate our entire house plus my pets, two cats and a dog, and I fit everything that was important to in one little Honda Accord. Driving away, there was definitely some grief that, some of the pictures and the things that I had to leave, the cool furniture that we liked, you know, all that stuff. There was some sadness about leaving our place, but it was also incredibly freeing to know that I didn't need any of that stuff, and that the stuff that was important, my husband, my pets, you know, maybe some photo albums, whatever, some important documents, those things were with me and safe. And so anyways, I guess I was just telling that story just to give an example of how we hoard so much stuff that really we sometimes don't even realize is taking up room, is taking up energy. So as we clear out the clutter, that basically opens up creative energy, and it opens up more energy to receive abundance, and from my experience. So John and I have kept a really tight ship in that sense ever since we left Seattle, because we've moved several times. So every time we move, we get rid of things. But now since we're more settled, usually about once a year, I go through everything, including computer files. I want to mention that, because even that, your computer can get really cluttered. A friend of mine just lost everything on her hard drive, and she said there were thousands of emails that she'd been saving in folders, and she pretty much doesn't miss a thing without all that. She said it was pretty freeing.
Ah.
After the disappointment and the anger wore off. So after the frustration, the anger wore off, she was like, wow, okay, this happened for a reason. I needed to, you know, start over, because we're creative infinite beings. If we're not always creating anew and moving forward and making changes and getting out of our comfort zone, then there is going to be, I think, a sense of dissatisfaction, because that's who we really are as spirit, as creative beings. We need to keep moving, and moving this stuff is a great way to help us do that.
So in a way, some of our clutter could be the famous old mafia day cement overshoes.
That's a great image. Yeah, keeping us stuck. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's usually not around our feet, but if it's blocking our energy and we're just not moving ahead, then it might as well be cement overshoes.
Exactly. Cement for the soul.
Yeah. So we're breaking free of that. Any helpful hints? I don't know if there was some time in some country somewhere in the pioneer spirit. I mean, people would help do barn raisings and help people with houses, but I don't know if there's ever been like a clutter community where people would take turns just going over and helping people, you know, clear stuff out.
Wow. Geez, I wouldn't want to have to do that. get my hands on other people's junk. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I just think that the clutter is like old energy. It's just like this stagnant old energy. And then really, So the thought of that just went, woo. Okay, so one idea is to put a time frame on it. So like, let's say a year. If I don't wear this outfit in a year, it's gone. If I don't look at this magazine in a year, and some people like to keep old magazines, it's gone. It's, you know, and maybe even sooner than that. But and then also some people just doing it slowly. I have a client right now who's just going through one box at a time and just making progress. And then as she's doing that, she's also being more conscious about not keeping things when they come in. So whether it's old mail, I'll look at this later. It's like, go through it now, recycle it, handle it once instead of handling that same piece of paper 10 or 20 times. Just handle it once.
Oh, boy, I was getting a vision. You spent time in San Diego. For people that are in a warmer climate, or for those during the summer, I can just imagine basically having an ongoing yard sale.
Yeah, I like your idea, the community yard sale. Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
You just put stuff outside and put a little sign on it with a little box. Here, take this and leave some money.
Yeah, and then sometimes I just put it out for free, depending on what it is. It just sits there, and usually it's gone.
and you've helped someone out, and you've released some stuff that was getting in your way.
Yeah, I just did that today, as a matter of fact. I got through a bunch of old clothes, and some of them were hard to give away because I still liked them, but I didn't love them. I wasn't wearing them very much. And so I just decided to, and I thought, I can do consignment. I could do this or that. But the time and energy to do that, to me, wasn't worth it. Plus, like you said, it would benefit someone else just to give it away. And so I just decided to give a big bag of clothes and shoes away today. It felt really good.
Ah, okay. Okay, so that's, so by doing that, I guess it would be kind of like, if you're hungry, but your refrigerator's stuffed full of old, stale, moldy food, gosh, you can bring in new food, but there's no place to keep it.
There you go. Yeah. You're great with those analogies, those metaphors.
So we want to make some room, and I love that. Now there's other kinds of clutter that you would help us deal with, mental, emotional, different things, some anger, all kinds of stuff. Can you help a little bit in that venue?
Yeah, one thing that stands out as you're saying that is toxic relationships. I think that sometimes we really get sucked into some very unhealthy relationships that are where our energy is being drained, and we're just not feeling supported or uplifted the way we'd like to be. So making a list of your primary relationships and next to the person saying whether they're a positive, neutral, or negative influence on you and how they affect your daily life. Are they draining your energy? Are they supporting you? Is it kind of neutral? So really taking an inventory. I don't think sometimes we take the time out to reevaluate where we're at with our relationships and taking an inventory. And then with the ones that are negative, really examining, is this something that can be healed just by maybe changes on your own part? Does a conversation need to be happen with a friend? Is it time just to let go and move on? Those kind of choices are very helpful. And it's, again, it's about consciously creating our own lives and consciously living our lives. So re-examining, re-evaluating relationships is a great one. And our emotional, like you said, the emotional baggage. What kind of do we have anger, resentment from the past? Do we need to forgive ourselves or forgive someone else? One of the helpful tools I use with my clients is writing a letter to the person, whether it's yourself or someone else that you need to forgive that you're angry with. And just really, the first draft is just getting the anger out, just the resentment and all the yucky stuff. And with that letter, you basically crumble it up and throw it in the fire and you burn it. And then with the second letter, just coming really speaking from the heart, the I statements, the truthful, honest feelings, more from an objective place. That's kind of how I help my clients work through. And sometimes they'll send the letter, or sometimes they'll just speak to the person from their heart about what they're feeling. But at first, it's helpful to get all the reactive anger and sticky stuff out.
Okay, so so either on paper or something. This is kind of nice because so often people aren't comfortable expressing anger.
Right.
It's like, well, how can I do it? And if I do it, what are people going to think? Because I'm supposed to be controlled and balanced and all this stuff. But you would be just fine with your clients writing it out, or I noticed something in your book about using a pillow. Yell and scream into a pillow.
Yeah. I think that's a good one because it's so safe. Nobody's going to get hurt, and you can just really vent that anger and that frustration. And typically when we're angry, it's because we're hurt. We're deeply hurt by something. And what I like to try to help people do is also see the mirror, see how is this person mirroring back to you how you're actually feeling about yourself. Because sometimes we're angry and we think it's the other person, but we're really angry with ourselves. So it can get kind of complicated that way. But, yeah, to first just vent it, just to get it out, like you said, maybe screaming in a pillow, go outside, throw some rocks in a safe place or something like that, and then coming from a more objective place. With honest feelings, I think is a very healthy way of dealing with it.
Huh, okay. So if we're feeling really stuck and all this stuff's bottled up, then that's basically saying just like if we want to release some of that clutter that could be clothing or papers, we got to release some of this clutter of these stuck emotions or resentments of unresolved stuff. And if I'm hearing correctly, we don't even have to have the people there because some of them might not be around anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Huh. Well, that sounds great. You're finding that, is that like a good pre-step to being able to then connect more to our vision when we've kind of got stuff off our chest, so to speak?
Yeah, exactly. I think when we create, because we're creating room again, getting back to that idea of just letting go of the clutter, simplifying our lives, the emotional stuff, the relationship issues, really creating room for the vision to unfold and to manifest, that is so important as part of the process. And one of the things I'd like to mention, and this is jumping ahead quite a bit to step eight, but is that oftentimes we have attachments. So creating a vision is one thing and kind of putting it out there to the universe, but then to really go to a deep place of surrender and letting go. And I have an example of this. Over the last 6 years, well, let's see, about 12 years ago, I was sitting in a graduate class for marriage and family therapy, and one of the professors asked, what is your role in life? And as he went around the room, each student answered, and what popped out of my mouth very surprisingly was mommy. I wanted to be a mommy. I was like, well, okay, so here I am in graduate school, and I want to be a mommy. That was really interesting to me. So I always had this idea that I wanted to have children someday, and it kept getting put off with travels and school and different things. So I finally, about the age of 35, started to try to have children, and it's been over 6 years, and I've had many ups and downs with early miscarriages and hope, you know, going through this hope and despair cycle and just a lot of grief and depression and anxiety around this issue. Well, I finally decided through various, you know, steps and processes to completely let it go, 100% completely let it go. And the minute, almost the minute, okay, within a few weeks.
It seems so quick after all the agony.
Yeah, right. So once I decided to let it go emotionally, all that attachment that I had around that issue, all of a sudden I started getting new clients for my business, and my business started taking off and prospering more. And so I really did see, I mean, I've been teaching this idea for a long time, but it was really cool to see it manifesting so clearly with that example of just really getting to a place of deep, deep surrender. And at one point I was kidding myself, thinking, well, if I surrender, maybe it'll still happen.
Mm-hmm.
If I let this go, maybe it'll still happen. But what I had to do is really get to the place of just completely being at peace and okay with it, with letting it go.
Yeah. To me, one of the interesting things is that we don't think so much as someone says we're going to start a family. And it's actually the idea I'm thinking of it in terms of, well, let's do something creative. And of course, there's, you know, hey, let's have a baby, or let's go sailing, or let's write a book. I mean, it's sort of like creative expressions are much more rampant than just a family and having children.
Exactly, and that was one of the kind of, we talked earlier about stepping out of the norm and not conforming, and that was one of the ideas. I thought it was just going to happen because that's what you do. You get married, you have kids, you know. And I think a part of me still would like that, you know, in my heart, but it didn't occur to me that my books or, you know, like you said, traveling or different things, creative expressions could be just as meaningful or satisfying to me on a certain level, and certainly they have been. I feel completely satisfied and fulfilled and whole and full just with the way my life is right now.
There was a woman, Evangeline Adams, who was part of the Adams family, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, and she was a famous astrologer in Boston, I believe, in the 1800s. And one of the things that came up about her life was that for some people, they will rock the cradle of their own children, and for others, they're actually rocking the cradle of the world, of the community, different ways of actually expressing that same energy.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And, so And to me, it seems so important as we're setting sail to know that one of the key factors there seems to be this creative expression of love. And there you are doing a beautiful book on this and helping us to set sail. I think that's great. Now, as we continue on the journey, what are some of the other the things that we want to make sure? You know, because I see there's we help to create some room. There's participate. There's take some risks. Be in community. There's a number of things. Would you help us to gather some more momentum here for our journey?
Absolutely. The next thing that came to mind when you were talking was also we were talking about the idea about creating room. We also need to let go of the distractions and start setting some boundaries around them. So, for example, the cell phone is one distraction that I've noticed that keeps us from being fully present. And being present really is where the dream's at, right? So being in the moment, really feeling it, experiencing it, connecting in the moment. And so when we've got our cell phone on and we're waiting for a call or we're talking to someone while we're trying to drive, you know, it just takes us out of the moment. So there's some boundaries that we need to set. Also, the TV is a huge one. Before John and I left for our sailing trip 10 years ago, we tried to get rid of the TV on several occasions. Once we put it in the closet, that we would just take it out on sick days. and then another time we actually called the cable company to disconnect it, and they never came out to disconnect it, but they stopped charging us, so we got free cable. finally, we just got rid of it when we left to go sailing. We just gave it away and got rid of it altogether. And it was interesting because on the sailing trip, we had very little contact with the TV, a rugby game here or there at a bar, you know, that kind of thing, but nothing, not on a daily basis. And at one point, we got put up in a really fancy resort hotel in Bali, Indonesia, by a friend of the captain's, and all of a sudden, there we were on the bed, channel flipping, and it was like, you know, within an hour, I just had this feeling of dissatisfaction, irritability, tension in my neck, and I thought, oh my gosh, I used to feel that way all the time, watching TV in Seattle, and I had no idea that that's what it was. And so it just was really cool, you know, after being about four or five months without TV, to all of a sudden see that transformation and the irritability and just the discontent. So it really reinforced our decision to let it go. And since then, we watch movies. We still have a DVD player, but we're much more choosy. We're much more conscious about our time and how we're spending it, what we want to watch, as opposed to just, you know, flipping the channels. So I think people need to start making some more conscious choices about how they're spending their time and their energy and what they're putting it towards in relationship to especially electronics and art, the way it's, they're so popular nowadays in our society.
Ah, absolutely. Yeah. It's like a perpetual distraction if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well, that's important. Let's take a moment to make sure people know about your website again and how to reach you. So let's see. To reach Karen, her website, www.liveapurposefullife.com, liveapurposefullife.com. And then do you also give out email or other things if they wanted to call for a consultation, or how do you do that?
Oh, certainly. Phone number is 303-562-8517, 303-562-8517, and email is creativetransformations, with an S at the end, at yahoo.com. So those are a few different ways people can get a hold of me.
And
Kenneth, would this be a good time to announce the workshop?
Oh, please. We want to make sure that there's an opportunity for people to have further contact with you. So that workshop sounds important.
And this one actually isn't with me, but it is part of something I'm involved with. It's a day with Joan Borisenko. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her last name right. She's a famous author, Borisenko.
Okay.
This is in Denver. It's called Discovering Your Soul's Compass. It's going to be a wonderful day on October 18th at the Plaza at the Mart, the Merchandise Mart in Denver. And to find out more information, please go to www.peoplehouse.org. And that's a place where I do rent office space, and it's a nonprofit organization. And this is going to be a fundraiser to help the People House. And we, through the People House, service some people with limited income and that sort of thing. So, again, peoplehouse.org, a day with Joan Boychenko.
Ah, excellent. Well, that sounds like that would be worth taking in. And just a pause to let our listeners know that Advanced Living Radio is brought to you by my company, AdvancedLiving.com, and we're so excited to invite you to discover the Comfort Clock. Yes, it's a Clark Kent-looking plain digital clock with superpowers, and when you plug that in, you can join with the likes of Reverend Michael Beckwith or Jack Canfield of The Secret, Chicken Soup for the Soul books, or Danyon Brinkley, or many other doctors and happy campers who are finding out that when you mitigate the stress of the electric world, oh my gosh, you free up a lot of energy, often sleeping better, thinking more clearly. So, and it's quick and easy. That's what I love. You just plug it in. So I invite you to take a look at AdvancedLiving.com and the Comfort Clock. And now let's continue with more fun and adventures here with Karen as we ask her about this swimming with dolphins, both literally and I'm guessing in other ways.
I just love the dolphins. On our sailing trip, many times we had pods of dolphins. One night in particular, it was my first night away from the sight of land. So I had grown up sailing off of the California coast in the San Francisco Bay, but I'd never been away from the sight of land, and we were sailing into a sunset with dolphins on the bow as we're leaving Fiji on our first overnight away from land adventure, and it was just incredible. So nice sense of peace with the dolphins. They just exude so much love and so much joy. So that's why I wanted to use that analogy for that chapter about swimming with the dolphins, being in community, and just the importance of connection. I read in an article recently, 85% of our life satisfaction is related to our relationships. So when we are in relationship, and we are in healthy relationships specifically, it's very, very satisfying. And so there are many ways to do that, to be involved. For me, when I lived in Big Bear, there were a couple of different organizations. One I belonged to a circle group, and we met weekly to meditate together. And it was so powerful. The healing and transformation and the energy of meditating with other people was absolutely incredible. So I highly recommend that, joining with a group of women. I have a group here in Denver that I meditate with, and we have a little healing circle, support group circle that we meet with.
Mm.
Finding people that have common passions. So maybe a hiking club, a skiing club, you know, just getting involved that way, a church, whatever it is where people have a common interest and common passions is another way to get involved and to connect. Trying to think of what else. Those are the two that stand out to me right now.
Oh, sure. That's some important things. And of course, whether it's through a church or separately, there's probably some kind of cause that a person feels passionate about. It may be helping the homeless. It may be community gardening. There's so many different areas where people can volunteer some of their time and connect with others and reach out and be doing some good right in the midst of their busy lives and discover, oh, my gosh, even though I'm so busy, I've still got something to give.
Yeah, and that kind of transitions smoothly into the next step, which is step 7, and it's about transforming adversity, seeing the lighthouse in the storm. And I do talk in that step about how when we do reach out and give back, that helps us when we're in the middle of an adverse situation, something that's painful, that really helps to transform our grief and our discomfort when we can give back and help other people and put other people before us. That's a really good point that you made.
Ah, and Can you share some of the ways that you found that that's been helpful for you?
Well, after after the sailing trip, John and I came back, and as I mentioned, we moved to San Diego, and I went back to graduate school and whatnot. And just a few months later, my 15-year-old brother passed away from cystic fibrosis.
Aww.
And just great guy, blonde hair, blue eyes, skinny, fair skin. I called him Buddy, and we had some amazing connections just a few days before he passed, some amazing healing and connections. And then, of course, after he passed, I really sensed his presence quite a bit. So one of the ways that helped me to deal with the grief was to volunteer through the Cystic Fibration CFRI organization and to send out just to help with gathering money for that organization. They have a Mother's Day tea every year, so every year I send out invitations to family and friends to see about donating money for that. And so that always feels really good.
Yeah, wow. So, certainly so many different places, so we'd just be inviting our listeners to think, well, what kind of touches their hearts? There's so many different causes. A guest that I had connected with some time ago, many of you may have heard of Danyon Brinkley, who was a skilled assassin for the CIA and had a near-death experience when he picked up a phone and was struck by lightning. And as a result of some amazing adventures on the other side, came back and started with the acronym CIA, Compassion in Action, and trains hospice volunteers.
Wow.
And you can, if that touches anyone's heart, they can go to Danyon, Danyon.com, and learn about that. And there are just so many ways out there that we can reach out and express some of our caring and find that, oh my gosh, there's a world of people that are ready to receive that, and it can be life-changing, whether it's a smile when you're driving or walking down the street, all this stuff. You know all this, Karen.
It just reminds me of the other day I stopped in Denver to give a homeless man some money on a street corner as I was driving by, and I gave him this big, huge smile, and I just said, God bless you. And he looked at me, and he's just this huge, brilliant smile on his face. He said, you are so beautiful. And he completely made my day. So it's just, sometimes it's just the little things like that, you know, when we extend ourselves and we see the light and the love in other people, and then it just gets mirrored right back to us. It was just beautiful.
Ah, wow. I love it. Now, I know there's going to be some of us, as we've got about 2-3 minutes left, some important, I don't know if there's a few tools or something, because we're thinking, okay, I've heard some good advice, but now I'm feeling stuck. I'm afraid again. Is there some stuff that you can offer, or some just kind of wrap-up advice that you say, hey, folks, this is so important?
Call me, you know.
Yes. Uh-huh. So that's and what's that number again?
Oh, 303-562-8517.
Okay.
I just laugh sometimes at the things that pop into my head.
Absolutely. You are ready to serve.
Let me see. Let me just check in just for a moment, see if there's anything else. Well, I guess the advice that I have is that 3 years and 3 days after my brother died, my father passed away from a very progressive form of cancer, and he had just retired, had worked for the same company for 34 years, and he had just retired about 9 months previous to his death. And so it just, to me, it really was, that was that time in San Diego when we started getting caught up in the rat race again, and we decided to sell the house and go for the cabin and the sailboat. It was just that, go for it. You know, whatever is on your heart, whatever dream you have, the time is now. It's not, okay, well, I better wait till this, or the kids are in college, or, you know, there's always going to be an excuse. There's always going to be a reason. And so it's just, I think it's important to honor ourselves and our path, because those dreams are put in our hearts for a reason. For me, they're when they are from our higher self and we're truly aligned with our dreams and our passions, they are from God. They're from Source. So it's, you know, honoring that in this lifetime and fully engaging and going for it is, I think, one of the highest things that we can do.
Oh.
The most fulfilling things we can do.
Yes. Okay. And like you were saying earlier, sometimes it's just a matter of start small with noticing a few things that you do that bring you a little pleasure and claiming some joy on a regular basis. So that few minutes of yoga, walking the dogs, taking, if you don't have a dog, just go take a dog from somewhere. But be sure to bring it back.
Yeah.
Oh, what fun. Well, folks, you can tell that Karen is not only skilled in making her life beautiful and helping others, but she is full of joy. And we just want to take time, Karen, to thank you for being on the program today and sharing and inspiring us.
Well, and it was a true, true pleasure for me and an honor for me, Kenneth. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And to my beloved listeners, tune in next week for more fun and adventures on Advanced Living Radio. And to you, Karen, my beloved listeners, until we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now. Let's go out.